Welcome to the Down and Dirty Podcast, the ultimate guide to modern midlife dating. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and I'm here to help you navigate the challenges of today's dating world. Think of me as your female version of Hitch, but better. With over 16 years of experience as a certified image consultant and dating coach, I've got the inside scoop on what women want. In this podcast, we're diving deep into the world of healthy masculinity and modern dating. It's a fast-changing industry, and here you'll find personal stories, expert insights, and candid conversations that will empower you to take control of your dating life. There's never been a better time to achieve your desired outcome, whether it's marriage, finding a significant other, securing a life partner, or simply regaining your dating confidence. We're here with you twice a week to explore the viewpoints and challenges in today's dating arena that resonate with every man seeking dating success and love. So let's dive into today's episode. We've got an exciting discussion lined up for you. Get ready for the double D's of dating, where dating dilemmas turn into dating triumphs. Welcome everybody to another episode of the Down and Dirty Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Celeste Moore. And today I am super excited. I get to interview my beautiful guest today, and I want to introduce you before we get into this episode. Her name is Yvonne Rake, and she's a trauma-informed relationship coach and host of the podcast Dating Greatly. With her compassionate and down-to-earth approach, she guides individuals through their healing process, helping them rewrite limiting beliefs, cultivate self-love, and gain clarity on their desires. Yvonne's mission is to empower women to manifest the happy relationship they deserve. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you coming on my show. I was on your amazing podcast and had so much fun getting real. So thank you for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me, Celeste. Yeah, I'm super happy we are doing this now on your show. Yeah, very happy to be a guest.
Thank you. There's so many great points to your system, or you talk about so many. Not, I know that you work with primarily women, but I know that this kind of this is just a human experience, limiting beliefs and self-love and gaining clarity. And so I think it's just great that we're able to have the space to talk about those things, because we all go through those. We all have these challenges, whether it's in our career, our home life, or just struggling with who we are as we go through our different seasons. So I love that you educate and coach people in this space. So yeah, it's awesome. But I know everybody listening here wants to get to know you a little bit more than just this cute little bio that we have. So kind of what was the driving factor to coming to the place that you are today, to becoming a life coach, to helping women navigate life the best that they can?
Well, I don't want to take up the entire episode of my backstory, but yeah. So where do I begin? Well, my coaching is focused on relationships and having fulfilling, loving, supportive relationships where you can be yourself, where you can unfold. And yeah, so how I got into that was in my mid-20s, I had, more than a handful of relationships behind me that were toxic, dysfunctional, were not good places for me to be in. They were awful relationships. So kind of the last one where I decided to, like, this is enough, was just I had been in a relationship with another alcoholic, because those are the types of people I chose. I was codependent. I didn't have a life. I didn't really have many friends. I was completely focused on this one person. And we had been on and off together for about 4 years. Less than a year into the relationship, I knew that this was not healthy for me. This wasn't good for me. I needed to leave. And it carried on for 4 years of just toxicity. And I got really sick. I developed like an autoimmune disorder. I was so anxious. I was so angry. I was really like a shell of a woman. I had no idea how to self-regulate, or I just had no idea. My only focus was my partner and like helping him and making him feel better and making sure I please him. And I completely adjusted my personality to fit his needs. I was walking on eggshells all the time. And Yeah, I got to the point, well, eventually I got out of the relationship and I was the one that eventually ended it. And that was at a point where I was so sick and just he was nowhere to be seen. And I just recognized like, wow, I can't recognize myself. And yeah, it's time to change this. So I started going to therapy. This was way at the beginning of my journey, just therapy and helping leave the relationship, helping me start new. I started doing yoga and things like that. And then over the years, I just added more and more things, I guess, of self-care. And my relationships started to be better. And yet there was still much to be desired. So even though the people were healthier individuals and I was feeling better, I still wasn't feeling fulfilled. I still wasn't a hell yes about my relationship. I wasn't a hell yes about how I was acting or how long I'd stay with these people. And so finally, I did my, because I was always like all along, I was always interested in just helping myself, healing myself, getting better and choosing myself more. And I also always loved talking about these things with my friends and whatever. So that led me to eventually decide to take a life coaching course to really help myself better and then also figure out my career because I wasn't feeling fulfilled there either. So I was in a really still unfulfilled place. So I started that. And then once I completed that, like rapid changes were happening there within me. And then I took a trauma-informed therapy coach with Dr. Gabor Mate, and that completely transformed my life. So for the first time, I could see through using this approach why I chose the men that I chose. I could see why the patterns that I like that kept showing up in all of my relationships, I could understand why I wasn't able to leave. I could understand why I was so fixated on them. I could understand all of these things. And just that understanding illuminated so much, and there was so much freedom in that. So since then, you know, now it's, I think, 4 years later after I completed that program, the relationship I'm in now, I just feel totally 100% authentic. Like I am myself 100%. My partner is like so attentive, so supportive, so caring that a lot of times I'm still like, you know, that part of me that was so used to all this other garbage is like, is this real? This isn't real. Like I'm so surprised all the time still. And it's just a reflection to show me how far I've come and where the relationship is that I have with myself. And so all this knowledge that I gained over the years, I wanted to give back and help other women. And I know I've done that in my close circle, but just being able to work with women and men really to give my knowledge to them and that experience and have them understand themselves and have them also make different choices that are better for them. It's been a ride and it's been incredible. And it's so amazing seeing people have these realizations, understanding why things happen like they happened and being able to move forward and make better choices. So that was long-winded, but there you go.
It's a beautiful journey. And I think it's important for people to understand that a lot of coaches go through such struggles and that's what makes them great coaches and therapists and, you know, consultants and all of these fields where you're really having that human connection. I myself have gone through so many struggles in my relationships and realize, this is why I'm attracting this because, you know, that was my father. It's not necessarily what was good for me. It's just what was, you know, what was known to me or how I grew up. And it's like, well, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's a good thing for me. And so I think it's important for people to hear your journey so that, oh my gosh, you know, I know that she understands, maybe the situation's not the same, but she understands the struggles, the heartache, where I'm at so that she's able to, you know, it's this relationship building and that's really important. So thank you for sharing your journey.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for giving me the space.
Yeah. I think we probably don't get to talk about that as much as coaches, you know, and that's okay. Like we shouldn't be bringing that to our clients, but it's also important, like for people listening here, wow, I understand more why she does what she does and how she can truly connect.
Yes, totally. And you posted something today on Instagram for your 2-year anniversary for the podcast that you said, you know, every guests that you had on your show, every topic that was discussed has helped you grow in some way, like has helped your healing. It's almost like every episode is like a therapy session. And I feel the same way, even, you know, working with clients, whatever they bring to me, whatever their story is, there's a piece there that I need from them as well. Like that'll resonate with something that I'm experiencing. And I know a lot of my clients have said, you know, in the moments where I actually share something, you know, that I feel that they could get some benefit from, just hearing them say like, that's really helpful, like knowing you're human and knowing you, you know, you also had these human experiences. I think it's really vital.
For sure. Yeah. This has truly like been so much more than I could ever expected having this show. And I don't know what I expected, but I didn't expect this. So I just feel so grateful and fulfilled. And yes, everybody bringing their expert advice and stories and like, and at the end of the day, we're all human and we need some type of reason to connect or a story to connect or a feeling to connect. And yeah, mm-hmm. you definitely bring that. And it's really special. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure everybody here is going to be able to resonate with something that you said, because I know for me, I have gone through very toxic relationships with around addiction has to be part of it. And it's like, or abandonment issues or all these things that happen because of my childhood, right? And this is just like the coping skills or the things that I thought was, like I said earlier, are the things that I am expecting out of a significant other. But no, that is not okay. And it's okay to realize that and to grow from that experience. So, and it sounds mm-hmm. like this is all you did. Once you had that relationship that was like really toxic, it literally made you physically sick, and you started to work on yourself. And yes, it's a journey. It doesn't happen just because you went to one therapist, like you said, or one mm-hmm. Course. It could take years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also recognizing where things come from and the partners you chose. Like for me, yeah, I definitely chose my dad and like the negative traits. I love my dad's positive traits. He's an intelligent man. He's practical. He's strong. Like all these things are fantastic. And then, you know, the traits that I perceived as negative are the ones I attracted. So when that shifted, that was incredible. And then at the same time, like what you said, we're familiar with. So the unfamiliar is so scary. So it brought up a whole bunch of things. Like, is this normal? Like, these are like unfamiliar waters. So even like navigating like your reactions as you receive things that you truly want, that are, you know, matching your vision, but then navigating that fear that comes up with the unfamiliar and just constantly having to reassure yourself, like, this is healthy, this is good, even though it's unfamiliar.
You have to retrain what's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great, great point, because you're right. Just because something's familiar doesn't mean it's healthy. So yeah. Do you feel that there is a common denominator why women cannot find their perfect partner? Do you find something that comes up quite frequently?
Yeah, for sure. For single women, there's a few different things. I mean, it's different for everyone, but one really common thing is they're scared of attracting the wrong person. So they go out there with the fear of attracting the wrong person. And then that usually ends up happening. So yeah, the fear for sure, the fear of things going wrong, the fear of putting themselves out there, like just, yeah, a lot of fear. And then also a kind of, well, it's based in insecurity, but I don't want to say desperation, but a neediness. And that's what is led with. And like, I know that I've been there, you know, wanting love and wanting affection. And then you're allowing that to lead you. But that's from a place of desperation, of wanting, of forcing, of needing. So women, you know, one thing that I think you can say that kind of across the board is like, we have this desire to, we feel like we need to do to receive. We can't just be and chill and relax. We need to do to receive love. And even like I thought about this the other day, the word like, I deserve love. Like to me, the word deserve is based on something like you have done something. So now you deserve love rather than like, I'm worthy of love or I attract love. It's like this deserving piece. So a lot of women they always feel they have to do. Well, what do I do? What can I do? And you don't really have to do anything but relearning that and realizing that you can just be.
Gosh, that's so powerful. It's so powerful just speaking different words in itself is massive. And I've learned that over the years. Mm-hmm. Wow, that deserve. That's really hitting home for me and for every woman that I know in my, just say in my family. But like, yeah, I deserve because I did. So someone owes me something.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow. Yeah.
It's crazy. Mm. It's just like I talk about on a lot of the shows or the guests come on. It's like rewiring masculinity and these topics that I've had. It's rewiring, you know, femininity. Like, what does it mean to be a healthy human, healthy woman, and navigate relationships? And yeah, and not feel that you have to do something because of. Mm-hmm. I did, you know, or receive something because you did something. That's mm-hmm. wow. I'm so glad that you are able to bring this space to women because it's going to take so many of us to change the norms mm-hmm. and it's going to be continuous and just more and more recognition that it can be done in a healthy, in a different way where we're equal yeah. people, we're equal partners in a relationship.
Yes, for sure. And it, you know, it's daily practice and daily awareness. And like, I'm by no means, you know, 100% over, you know, doing to receive. Like, I catch myself still, like, for, I catch myself in like the day to day with my partner. If, I don't know, if he's not having a great day or something like that, I'm like, what can I do? Like, what can I do right now to make him feel better? So maybe I'll start like, I don't know, doing the dishes that I didn't want to do or whatever that is. But, you know, it's one thing to do out of love. Like you want to just nourish and pour into him and or pour into your partner. Like that's one thing. But doing because like you want to make them feel better or because you maybe you did something that you deem bad or undesirable and now you want to make up for it. Like I catch myself in those patterns all the time and then just reminding myself like it's okay, you can relax. Because and again, all this stuff also comes from childhood. So it's like if your parents were upset with you, then you wanted to get back into their good books. And you know, talking from the woman's point of view, like we did, and maybe we cleaned our room or maybe we're like did something for mom or for dad to help to get to be good again. And so we carry that into relationships, but it's no longer necessary. Like as kids, there was that threat, like the threat of being disconnected from your parents, like being disconnected from your parents is the scariest thing for a child. Like all it has is its parents. So you got to keep connection. So that's where we choose connection over authenticity. So we stop being ourselves to stay connected. And, you know, a lot of times we carry that into our relationships. So I'm not going to be myself and maybe I don't want to do the dishes right now. I just want to relax, but I'm still operating from this childhood mindset of like, I got to keep connection. I got to be connected, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah. I mean, you really gave such a great example because yes, I was the good daughter and that meant anything that my parents needed to make their life easier, whether it was watching my siblings or cleaning the house or all of these things, right? And you just, and I see that as a mother. I see that how I am as, you know, the things that I do that started from childhood so that I am a good parent even. And mm-hmm. it's like the roles are, it's still the same. Like I was a good daughter, but now I'm a good parent.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have to prove to myself now that I'm an adult. So by doing this, this makes me, I'm validating myself.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you find that that's a common theme too, is women constantly having to validate themselves in relationships?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And if they're in relationship, looking for validation from their partner because they don't know how to give it to themselves. So seeking or really just feeling really frustrated and angry that they're not being validated from their partner. So yeah, you know, wanting the compliments or wanting the reassurance or wanting to be told by the partner, you're a great mother, you know. But the key is like, you got to know that. And there's something in you that doesn't believe you're a good mother. So, yeah, it's like seeking that external validation. But really, yeah, you got to give it to yourself. And that's the challenging work. But it's, again, like practice every day. And yeah, the more we can validate ourselves and our existence, especially as women, the more we can settle into that feminine energy.
Yes. Yes. So one of the biggest lessons that I have been learning this year, and this is going to continue probably until I die, is giving myself grace. Mm-hmm. And I think I heard someone, obviously it's not a new term. It's not something that, you know, it's very new to people hearing, but someone said it at some point, maybe it was a friend, or I have a great friend who's a therapist, probably said it to me. And he says, you know, you just got to give yourself grace. And at that moment in time, it's exactly what I needed to hear, but it hit home. Whereas maybe if I heard it a couple years ago, it just would have been like over my head. Where do you get to a point in your life where, and I don't know, maybe this is not a question for you, but where you're able to receive? I think as women, we, like you said, we're givers, we're doers, we're nurturers. But when we can stop and actually receive, that's been a challenge in the women that I know. Is it something mm-hmm. that you experience with your clients as well?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because they don't believe that they will receive. Like, they do not trust that they will receive. So yeah, getting to a place where you can receive, that's self-trust. That's trusting that, yeah, you are going to get the love that you need, that you're going to have the partner that is perfect for you. They are going to love you just like you need them to. But that's just being in a place of trusting yourself and just, yeah, trusting things are going to unfold that way. And can you repeat your question again?
Oh, yeah. No, I just, and I think you probably answered it. It's like, when is it that you can learn to receive instead of do and give and, you know, drop into mm-hmm. the feminine energy? But you said pretty much, you just said the answer now. So it's when you learn yeah. to trust within. And that's
yeah,
just
and it totally does. It totally does. And then also, I think, you know, getting to a place where you can receive all this is the self-worth piece. Okay. Like believing you are worthy to receive, because we all, at least, you know, in our past, did not believe we were worthy to receive. And we have these deep-seated beliefs about being unworthy, about being not enough, about being unlovable, all these things. So those things, those beliefs, they have to be rewritten. And again, that's practice as well. So I know for me, this self-worth piece, like that's daily. It's daily work. It's daily practice. It's, you know, treating yourself like you would want your partner to treat you. Like if you're single and you want to be in a marriage, how do you want your husband to treat you? So treat yourself like that and show up. Show up as that wife partner that gets treated like a goddess or a god or whatever. Okay, maybe those words aren't, but like just this high level person. Yeah, just let me articulate this a little bit better. I'm kind of lost my train of thought there.
Don't worry. I understand what you mean. Yeah. So, and I'm sure I know you talk about triggers a lot in relationships too, and this is really important to know what your triggers are. But how often, when talking about triggers, does that come up? Like, or let's see, let me rephrase this. What are some suggestions on how to properly deal with triggers in a relationship? Or maybe first, before that, how do you learn to know what your triggers are?
Oh my God, yes. Well, we get triggered all the time, every day. And it's literally that thing that makes you go, like, look up and, like, scrunch your forehead looking at your partner, like, what did you just say? Or the thing that makes your stomach drop in the moment. Or just the thing that causes irritation, fear, whatever. Like, maybe all of a sudden you're angry. So it's that it's that trigger point, whether someone says something or doesn't say something, but it triggers a negative reaction in you. Something interesting, my teacher, Dr. Gabor Mate, he describes it like you have pretty much like the gun, like a gun in your hand, it's already loaded. The trigger is just the little, well, the trigger, like on the actual gun, but the gun is already there. It's loaded with ammunition. Like it's, this is just like the release point. So if your partner triggers you or if someone triggers you, it's, there's a much bigger, there's a bigger picture to it. So you're, you know, that's, you know, you can think of it like, well, it is usually a wound, some kind of wound from childhood that's being activated in those moments. So, yeah. So in the moment to navigate that in relationship, really, you want to get to a point where you don't react. So I know I was always bad for if I felt triggered, like let's say through text messages. Oh, I'd be right there, like writing my text message back and like just from like that angry, like I'd be raging or I'd have that anxiety in my stomach and I'm typing a message to the person I was with. Like that's not going to be received well. That's not anything that's intentional or well thought out or reflective. That's impulsive and it's just going to shoot another trigger back. So now you're in conflict. So the key is really when you get triggered to notice that, like notice the reactions in your body. So I know for me, I get really hot. I get heated, like depending on what kind of trigger it is, or my stomach drops like, oh, impending doom. So just noticing those things in your body and just taking a moment and asking yourself, like, what just happened? And that's why going back in your story, going back to, you know, what is that? Why were you triggered? Like, what is that wound that was just aggravated? It's so helpful because then in these situations, if your partner does trigger you in the moment, you know, it's not them. Like, yes, they did a little thing that agitated it, but there's a much bigger thing that needs looking at. So The more you can spend time to figure out where that came from. And then it's like what you said earlier about the word grace, giving yourself grace for having that reaction and giving yourself grace for, you know, getting angry. Or there's another thing, I'm going to go off on a tangent or whatever, but anger is always covering either fear or grief or a sadness. So anger is just there to protect us. And we usually jump to anger because it's easy and it's like we got our guard up. We're going to be protected. So even just recognizing that, like what's underneath the anger? Is it fear or is it sadness? There's other emotions, but you can keep it real simple. Is it fear or is it sadness? And then just allowing yourself, like giving yourself grace and recognizing that this thing that just got aggravated is from a long time ago. And, you know, if... I guess, yeah, if a little child was crying, you wouldn't yell at it and tell it to go. And I mean, maybe some parents would, but ideally you would comfort this child because they're upset, because they're sad, because they're afraid. You would comfort them. You would reassure them. You would give them a hug. So in those moments where you get triggered, just going inwards to yourself rather than towards the person that triggered you and just giving yourself that understanding, grace, reassurance. And again, this is practice, but it's totally doable. And just doing your best not to react in those moments, just giving yourself time. And maybe that's also removing yourself, like taking a walk, taking a nap, calling a friend, just things that take you out of that situation for a bit.
A minute to diffuse.
Yeah, at least a minute.
At least, yes, yes. Oh, yeah. I definitely have some triggers still that I need to work on. So,
oh my gosh.
especially with a man in a relationship.
Yes, me too.
I look at that particular thing, even talking to you, right? I'm like, ooh, it's so triggering to me. And I clearly haven't dealt with that one.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah. I mean, I don't think that work will ever be complete.
Probably,
you know,
not.
even though I'm in this work too, like every day, but yeah, with my partner, there's things that come up all the time. But I used to be so angry. I had so much rage inside of me and I would, oh my gosh, the things that I would say and how I would like viciousness. And that's not even anywhere in my aura anymore. Like that doesn't exist. So, you know, the triggers have like, they've just softened. Like they're not as strong. Like my reactions are not as strong. And that obviously makes relationships much easier to navigate.
Yeah, I think the continued healing and, like you said, the practice and the, it definitely takes that down notches.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I can see that in certain areas of my life and my healing process of I've gone through things. I think coming from a space of love, when you, like you said, going in inside, it's almost like you're giving yourself a hug, because I don't think you can ever go wrong when you come from a place from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I'm sad, I'm happy, you know, all of these things. But when you talk about the emotion that it's happening versus like, well, I'm angry. Well, yeah, like anger is, yeah, but why? Because that's the protective mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And people get really good at staying there.
Yeah. And I mean, it's much easier because you're just behind a shield. You got your little sword out. You got your protective shield in anger. That's great. You know, when you go into sadness and fear, that can get much more uncomfortable. Like that place is raw. That place, you know, it's not comfortable.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times when we do go there, when we allow ourselves to go there and spend a bit of time there, that's when things will start to lighten in our lives. We got to go into the darkness for a bit to, you know, get more light, to be more in the light, or dig down deep to go higher, you know, however you want to visualize it. And it'll be uncomfortable for a moment, but overall, it's going to just yield the greatest results when you allow yourself to go there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's interesting because if you're there, like I said, a lot of people who stay in that protective shield mechanism, however you want to call it, is that's exhausting, though, too. That mm-hmm. seems to me like it would be more tiresome to always mm-hmm. be in that protective mindset, that protective, like, oh, I got to always be on to not let anybody hurt me anymore. And I have experienced that. And when I've healed those, that hurt, when I've dealt with that more, and it's so much lighter, it's so much more, you can give and receive. You can actually have this exchange with another human, which is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Because the more we're also in anger and like the protection. Because I'm tight.
Thank you. I'm like, go away, go away.
That's sweet. Yeah. The more we're in anger and protection, the more we also keep out connection, because either you're hiding behind a shield or you've built up your brick wall, but you're keeping out connection. You're keeping out love. So the more you can just like take the shield down or take the wall down, the more you're allowing love and connection in. So it's funny because we're like, we think we're protecting ourselves, you know, which again, that probably was established in childhood at some point to protect yourself from pain that like is seemingly unbearable. So it made sense why anger became this shield. And then at the same time, yeah, you just keep yourself separate, disconnected. You don't experience love the same. Yeah, it's not an expansive place.
Yeah, I just see lonely, depression, because when you truly have human connection, there's nothing greater. I mean, it's what makes us different than other animals. Yes, there are other animals that live in tribes and live in families, but it's this human connection. This, there's nothing better.
No, there isn't.
It's just a beautiful feeling. And it doesn't matter how you connect to that person.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be super deep. It could be over a hobby. It could be over an experience. It can be over entrepreneurship. I mean, you take to whatever level or whatever experience you want. But when you have that, it's just truly like you don't feel alone. You feel connected mm-hmm. to this bigger picture.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's huge.
I love that. I love love. And that's why I love this work. So, you know, yay. Like the relationship, love, and relationships can be relationships with anyone. Like for the longest time, like what you said, darkness and loneliness, like that's how I grew up. Like my teenage years were spent in my room by myself, protecting myself, like listening to angry music or whatever, because I felt disconnected from my family. And, you know, then always thinking I'm separate, I don't belong, I'm not good, I'm not a good daughter, like all these negative things. And then in adulthood, even just a couple years ago, you know, I was part of a woman's circle. And that belief came up so powerfully, like, I don't belong here. I'm not as good as these women. Like, I am bad or whatever. And just recognizing, like, whoa, this is still here. And then doing the work of, like, I do belong. I am allowed to be here. I am good. Like, this is an exchange, a connection of women. Like, I have a right to be here just like anyone else does. And so doing that work within the circle, that was pretty incredible. And, like, just allowing myself to open up to connection. And then, yeah, like, knowing that I belonged. And it was like a high point of that circle was, at one point I shared something very emotional and I was crying, and the women that were in the circle, they came, sat around me, and, like, all of them were touching me in some way, like hugging me or laying in my lap or, like, rocking me. Like, I had, like, 8 women around me. That was so powerful. And in that moment, I was like, oh my God, like, I belong. I'm part of this. Like, we're all one. So that was such a powerful moment to have these women that I admire so much embrace me like that.
It's beautiful. I think for you to also notice you have something to give as much as they have something to give. And I, like you said, it's an exchange. And I'm sure those women have just the same feelings, or at some point in their life where they felt that they didn't belong, or they're, you know, this imposter syndrome that we like to have in certain situations. And it's so beautiful that you were able to heal part of that, to know that you are worthy. You're supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And I think too, you know, the power of community and connection as we, you know, look for love, if you're a single woman or a single man, you know, whether that's just a friend or a men's group, like, men's groups are on the rise, or women's groups, like, it's so powerful to have something as you're looking for love, to have these foundations of connection and, like, in place, also to practice getting vulnerable and opening up before it's maybe with a significant other that might still be quite daunting. You know, you can practice with, like, people of the same sex, that might be easier, friends, things like that, like, just practicing opening up and being a little more vulnerable.
I wonder if there's a group, because I would like to heal a lot of issues with men with me. Mm-hmm. If there's a group that could do that for me, a men's group that would allow a woman to come in and heal, I think that would be so awesome, because I know there are these men groups that are forming and this, I think it's a wonderful thing. I truly am all about, you know, this space, this new space for men to be vulnerable and supported. But I wonder if there's, like, maybe more of a healed men's space where they could just, you know, I had a great relationship with my mother's father, my grandfather. He was, like, the most amazing person ever. And I did have some positive male role relationships, but it's interesting how much damage I created myself or invited in, or however you want to say it. But I would love to heal and be in a space where I could just look into a man's eyes and just give hugs or just have some, you know, that right there is just healing, that being able to, the vulnerability of looking into another person's eyes and be sitting there and just looking is so moving.
It is. And Celeste, as you say that, like, that's one of my big things is the eyes, like, that's such vulnerability. And I remember when me and my partner were first starting out, like, just looking at it in his eyes, I would be able to do it. But every so often I'd have to look away because it was like, oh, like, you're seeing too much of me, you know? So it's powerful, powerful, like, the eye contact. And yeah, I totally hear you with that. And also what you said about, you know, your grandfather and having these positive role models. I think that's so, if you're a single woman or a single man right now, thinking about the positive male role models in your life. And same for me, it was my grandfather. So when my last relationship ended and I was like, I had my father again, like, I don't want my dad anymore. I really sat down and I was like, okay, which man did I feel safe with? Which man was I, like, totally myself with? I was like, my grandpa. Like, we would sit together and he would just hold space for me. He'd laugh at me if I was being silly. I would just be myself. Like, we could sit in silence. We were always silly together. So I really tapped into his energy and I was like, yes, like, that's the type of man that I would like in my life. And, well, that's my partner now is like my grandpa. And I'm so happy with that. And yeah, it's so wonderful. So it doesn't have to be, you know, I think we can refocus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the vital piece is not making up, oh, like, I like this trait, I like this trait, but actually going back and thinking, where did, in your childhood, who did you feel safe with? Where were you able to relax? You know, which person was that? And really tapping into those qualities.
Yeah, such a good idea. Such a great mm-hmm. idea. Lots of healing to do.
Yeah, totally.
But how can people, the audience listening here, understand the difference between trauma and healing too? You know, there's this difference that, or understand maybe not so much the difference, but what each of those terms mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes when nowadays the word trauma is being thrown around pretty liberally, you know, every moment that was bad is a traumatizing moment. And I mean, yeah, that's not true. Trauma is, you know, and sometimes too, I think that word, like you think, oh man, I didn't have a traumatizing childhood, like nothing terribly bad happened to me. Like if you think trauma, maybe you think injury or severe abuse or whatever, but that doesn't have to be the case either. Trauma really, and trauma isn't, this is interesting. So again, my teacher, Dr. Gabo Mate, he explained that trauma isn't the event that happens. That's not what creates trauma. It's the response to that event. So the event happens. What happened, especially in childhood, what happened afterwards? How were you supported? How were you loved? How were you encouraged? How were you reassured? Did any of that happen? With a lot of these traumatizing moments, for me and a lot of people that I spoke with, they didn't talk about it with anybody, especially not their parents. So they didn't recover from this incident. So that's what the trauma is. Mm-hmm. It's like you're unable to kind of put a bow on it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point there, because yeah, if you look back at the people that haven't healed from certain situations, either they weren't believed or like they said, nobody was told, like, and so they're dealing with that themselves and feel ashamed and all of these other things that come up. And so they're constantly having to relive that if they're never mm-hmm. have been, you know, been able to voice this or deal with it. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then I'm sure everybody's healing process is different, but the healing starts when it's spoken about, it's talked about. What do you say about that? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel therapy definitely has an important place, especially at the very start when you haven't talked about the things that happened to you. And maybe they were just, you know, little instances, like some of the memories I have that created some of my patterns are seemingly innocent, but still, like, having a therapist to explore these things, I think that's a really good first step to just talk about it. And then, you know, with approaches like compassionate inquiry or somatic therapy, where you go more into the body and like sensations and things like that, I think that could be really beneficial. So in my coaching, I bring in the compassionate inquiry approach, which is the trauma-informed therapy approach. I bring that in, and that's, again, just, yeah, looking back, understanding where things came from, reframing that, and transforming those patterns. So those are really good first steps to healing. And then also with all of this, you know, it's putting your, really caring for yourself as you would a small child. So, you know, you feed the child, you spend time with the child, you take care of it, you hug it. So in that, it's like self-care routines. So I find that, you know, for healing, that's so vital to have something, even if it's just 5 minutes in your day, where you're doing yoga or just doing something that it's just you and you're connected to your body in some way and you're doing it consistently every day. And that just strengthens the connection to yourself, strengthens the connection to your intuition, which, yeah, I think those are good first steps for sure. Yeah.
Those are some great, great examples for sure. So committing to a vision and manifesting desires, taking action.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we take action so that we can manifest these desires in our lives, in our relationships?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's a combination of like manifesting the desires that we have. I think we got to do the deeper work as well. Because otherwise you're just going to get regurgitation. You're going to get your same old cycle. You're not going to be able to break out. So I think that trauma work or like looking at the past understanding is vital. And then it's like, do you even know what your desires are? So, and I know you said that when you came on my podcast, to have a clear vision. Like, what do you want? What do you want from your life? What do you want your life to look like? Who do you want to be? How do you want to feel every day? What do you want to look like? And that, I don't mean like, I want to have like clear skin or something. I mean, it could be that, but it could be like, what do you want to look like as you're walking down the street? Like, what kind of a swagger do you got? Like, you know, like visualize your confidence, visualize your grace, like feel into what you want. And that's the same with a partner and your relationship. So just having that vision, I think, is super clear. And always bringing that vision back to you. And then really, yeah, doing the work every day. And that's, you know, affirmations I find really powerful. So yeah, like every morning I stand in the mirror and I spend probably, well, my whole like skin routine, I'm just looking at myself like in my eyes in the mirror and I'm saying these affirmations. I usually start with I am. So I am confident. I am beautiful. I am at peace with myself. I am so happy that I'm so successful. I'm abundant, like all these things. And I find even if I get up feeling tired and maybe a little bit like sluggish, once I do this, I feel, well, because I say things like I'm motivated, I'm energized, I'm in flow, I'm creative. Mm-hmm. It shifts everything and it shifts my reality. So my day ends up being that.
Yeah.
So those types of things, affirmations, whether you write them down, say them out loud, or look in the mirror like that, those affirmations can move mountains. Like for me, like the partner I'm with now, I want to whisper this in case he's listening, but I manifested him. Like I did the witchcraft on him.
You get it, girl.
I did.
Yes.
And it's, you know, everything that's happening now, like I know that I'm creating it. Mm-hmm. And so like also recognizing our power. Like our power to attract the right person, our power to live the life that we want to live, our power to have like the most beautiful, fulfilling relationships. Like you have that power. That's incredible. I'm still blown away. Like it's magic.
Yeah. Well, you're clear on what you want. You're clear on your boundaries. You're clear on how you want to show up and what you want from this life. Mm-hmm. And the more we are clear and at least start with yourself, right? Don't mm-hmm. get, because I go through these things where I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, but when I know who I am and what I want, when I can see the vision for who Celeste is,
yeah,
where I want to go, like the big picture, then everything else just falls into place.
Mm-hmm.
And we get off track, but we get right back on. Like, I think the faster because we're going to derail, but the faster we get back on, it's just like, it takes practice and it's better though. It's the shorter we're off the rail is better, right? It's just totally. Learning. It's learning how to get back into focus faster. That's what I've experienced.
Definitely. Yes. And that's like with the practice, like, yes, like you said, we derail, but it's so much faster that you come back online, like that you're back and centered and moving again. And you know, sometimes you might, you know, in a week or even in a day, you'll get thrown off a couple times, but just the duration is way shorter because you have your tools in place. You can get yourself back there because you know you're worthy of those good feelings, you know?
Well, and I think too, when you've had both feelings, you only want the good feelings, right? Like you said, you love, right? Because you have that. And it's so powerful. And that you just, that's the only thing that you want in your space, in your life. And I think it's amazing and beautiful that you found your person. And everyone listening here, you can find your person. You have to basically get out of your own way and do the work, you know, and really get clear and like go through the work. You've got to heal.
Yes. And I, you know, just to, it's not all this like woo-woo, like, ooh, magical unicorn. I manifested. Like I, before I got together with my partner, like I was taking walks and I would talk to my, I was literally talking to myself out loud, like almost 24/7. Like I'd go on these walks and I'd be like, I am worthy. I am worth. I am love. I am good. Just constantly, any drive I would take, I'd be talking out loud to myself and just hammering it into my skull. And, you know, like I am vulnerable. I'm open. I trust, like things are coming to me. But this was like daily rigorous practice because I was so sick of that stuff, like of those relationships that left me unfulfilled, disconnected, unsatisfied. I was like, I'm not doing that again. And also I'm not open to anything other than my vision. Like I'm not open to anyone like that doesn't remind me of my grandpa. No. So yeah, but it was daily work. And, you know, some people might think kind of strange talking to yourself, but like for me, I found that so powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it helped you get clear with like staying in your boundaries, right? Getting really firm about that. And I mean, just from what you experienced in your first relationship that was, well, the one that you spoke about earlier, how you gave up yourself, you did everything for that person, you didn't have any boundaries. It was like free for all.
Yeah.
And in return, you became physically sick. You became, you know, just someone who you were not. And so good for you for keeping those boundaries nice and tight. And anything that didn't fit into that, you were like, nope, not having it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And like, yeah, it's just, it's night and day. It's night and day, like how I move in my relationship, how I feel in my relationship. And you know, things come up on a daily basis, the triggers and everything like that. And also when you get something that's like, you can feel like, wow, this is it. Like, this is unlike anything. Your fear and those types of things, like they will elevate. So I've experienced that as well. So like, even though it's the most amazing thing, on the other hand, my fears are also like, oh my God, I don't want to lose this, you know, alarm. So it's navigating that as well, that discomfort again. Yeah.
Learning to trust.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask last question. Ask all my guests, what was one of your favorite dates and what was it?
Oh my goodness. Well, obviously I'm going to choose my partner here. One of my favorite dates. What was it? I think it was actually probably one of the first ones, if not the first date that we went on, which was we went on like a little hike and just went and sat on top of this hill and had a picnic. And it was so nice. And then the sun was setting and we liked each other, but we hadn't kissed, we hadn't hugged or anything. And yeah, we had our little picnic and then we just turned and like watched the sunset and just like naturally, I don't know, like he like wrapped his arms around me and I just like settled in and it felt so comfortable and it felt so magical. And it was like not even, it just felt so natural, you know, just sitting up there and just watching the sunset. And I was just leaning into him and it was just, yeah, really, really great feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also,
yes.
So before that happened, I had like visualized, or I was like, oh, my first kiss. And it was with him, like the first kiss that we're going to have, because like I knew we were going to kiss. The first kiss we're going to have, I want it to be like where I jump up and he holds me and like that thing. And then I forgot about it because, you know, that's never going to happen. But anyway, at the end of this date, we got home and he just went to hug me and like squeeze me. And he picked me up and I straddled him and he held me. And then we had our first kiss like that. So I'd never had that before. And it was so good. And I, even in the moment, I was like, that was the best first kiss ever.
Oh, so romantic. I love it. I love that for you. See, yeah. You can manifest anything, people.
That's right.
So also, I like to give you the space here. If there's anything that's going on with you and your business or anything that I didn't talk about that you would like to share with the audience here today.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So if you would like to connect with me, the best way to do that is on Facebook or Instagram. And my handle is Life Coach Yvonne. My friend and I have created a program called Deeply Connected. And it's a 4-week online program for women to connect deeper, communicate better, and experience love like never before. And we take you through the steps to really manifest like your own happily ever after and manifest your ideal partner. And we don't really use the word manifest. We just do the work to make sure you get the person. And if you're already in a relationship, just how to, communicate better, connect deeper. So if you want to check that out, you can do that at lifecoachyvonne.com/deeplyconnected.
Oh, thank you. I love that. As we wrap up this in-depth conversation with Yvonne, Rick, I want to express my heartfelt thanks for sharing her thoughts and her journey. And to you, our listeners, your support and engagement make this journey truly rewarding. So remember to follow and subscribe to the Down and Dirty podcast for more engaging conversations. And until next time, keep exploring, stay curious, and thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed today's episode and want to support podcasts like ours, then please hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating, and or invite others to listen. Your support is what helps us grow and continue to bring you valuable content. Thanks for hanging out with us on today's episode. Let's stay connected. You can find me on Instagram at Celeste More Image, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's discussion. For all the links, resources, and additional information mentioned in this episode, check out the show notes on my website, CelesteMore.com. That's all for now, but stay tuned for our next episode where we'll dive into more exciting topics. Until then, see you next time, friends.